Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Friends, Jesus in the manger possessed the fullness of God. The baby in the manger is the image of God. Notice beginning of verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God? Now, the Greek word for Christ being the image of God means he is the perfect replica. He is the precise copy. He is the duplicate of God, which tells us that God himself is totally manifested in the person of his Son. As Christ himself said in John 14:9, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. Hebrews 1:3 expands on this identical affirmation by saying that Christ is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, and he upholds all things by the word of his power, which beautifully says to us that Christ is to God as the warm illumination of light is to the sun. And just as the sun is never without its brightness, so God is never without the brilliance of his Son. Again, God's perfect likeness is revealed in Jesus. Jesus is God in the fullest possible sense. Again, the exact image of God is seen in Christ, who came as a baby in a manger. The baby in the manger, friends, is the fullness of God. He is the image of God. And then third, the baby in the Bethlehem manger is the firstborn of God. Looking again at verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Paul writes that he is this firstborn of all creation. Now, what does that mean? Does this description mean that Jesus was a created being? Now, there are people who would tell you, yes. But the Greek word translated firstborn describes Jesus' rank, not origin. In the Hebrew family, firstborn meant the heir, the ranking one, the one who had the rights of inheritance. And in a royal family, being the firstborn meant that this son had the right to rule. And so what this verse is saying is that Christ is the one who inherits all creation and is given the right to rule over it. As 1 Timothy 6:15 and Revelation 19:16 rightly tell us, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. The baby in the manger is the firstborn of God. Number four, the baby in the manger is the arm of God, which tells us that Christ is the creator of everything. Notice verses 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Christ is not a mere part of creation. He is the creator of creation. He is the very arm of God, active from the beginning of time, who called this entire universe into existence simply by the word of his power. Turn back, if you would, and we're just going to go through this very quickly, to Genesis chapter 1. We just said that he called into existence this universe simply by speaking it forth. We read in the first verse of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke it into existence. Notice what he said in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the heavens, or in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse number 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, let the dry land appear, and it was so. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Verse 19 and verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female. That's important. He didn't say half male and half female, or whatever you want to call yourself. He said male and female created he them. You are what God created you to be. A woman, a lady. John 1:3 tells us all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And all this could not be true if Jesus himself was a created being. Now let's think about Christ's creation, and I mean, we could talk for hours about this, but let's rightly acknowledge that creation that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit brought to pass is quite large, which gives us a pretty good idea how big and majestic our Lord truly is. Really, the size of God is witnessed by the size of his creation. For example, if the sun were a hollow ball, it could hold 1,200,000 Earths, with enough room left over for 4,300,000 moons. Now, the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 5 times larger than the sun. While a star named Betelgeuse, one of the stars visible in the constellation Orion, is 248 times larger than our sun. And there's another star called Arcturus that is 10 times larger than Betelgeuse, which tells me the stars just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course, we've talked numbers of times about the speed of light. And of course, light travels 186,000 miles per second. And if you and I could travel that fast, we would reach Mercury in 4.5 minutes, Jupiter in 35 minutes. I mean, 186,000 miles per second, that's moving. Saturn, it would take you an hour. The nearest star, 4 years, 4 months. The edge of our galaxy, the Milky Way, it would take us 100,000 years. And we're only talking about our galaxy. Friends, there are millions and perhaps billions of galaxies which house billions and billions of stars. And God says, I call them all by name. And again, who created it all? That babe in a manger, which declares what a strong arm he must have. Again, Colossians 1:17 says, not only did this passage tell us that he created everything, but then he holds it all together. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Hebrews 1:3 tells us, he holds all things by the word of his power. What a strong arm he must have. Which prompts me to exclaim, how big is God, how big and wide his vast domain. To try to tell these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule his mighty universe, and yet he's small enough to live within my heart. That's just mind-boggling. And then number 5, the baby in the manger is the Lamb of God. Remember John the Baptist announced of Christ, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, which raises the question, how can he do that? Well, Christ as the Lamb of God became the offering, the sacrifice for our sins. As we've said it so often from 1 Peter, he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He took our sin and paid its penalty. eternal death through his death on the cross. And now he invites us to seek forgiveness of our sins through his atoning blood. And when we repent and believe in Christ for our salvation, he takes the hand of the repentant, yielding sinner, and the outstretched hand of a thrice holy God and yet loving God, and he joins us together. He reconciles us to God. And thus peace is made through the blood of the cross. Notice verses 20 and 21, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he what? Reconciled. And then one more, that babe in the manger is finally the gift of God. He's God's gift to you. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now certainly gift-giving is front and center during this time of the year, and it can become all-consuming. The living God, I want you to know, is fully vested in the spirit of giving. And what a gift of love he gives. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This one who is God in the flesh, who is the fullness of God, who is the image of God, who is the firstborn of God, who is the arm of God, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away all of our sin, is God's gift to you and to me. There's no greater gift. It is unspeakable and it's indescribable. Again, for in him and through him is life, full life, abundant life, eternal life. We quote Romans 6:23 so often, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, meditate on the reality that God, through his Son, is giving you the gift of life. Life. His life. Eternal life. There's no greater gift. No greater love. And he freely gives it to us. There's nothing begrudging at all about this gift. It is given graciously, freely, and desirably. In 2 Peter 3:9, God tells us he doesn't want anyone to perish, but his desire is that we all come to repentance. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I say, believe this baby in the manger, in this Bethlehem manger. Believe in him. Believe what he came to do. For he is your hope. He is your life. He is your salvation. He gives you a new heart. And then you become a new creation. Again, Christ is the fullness of God. He is the image of God. He is the firstborn of God. He is the arm of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the gift of God. We sing, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter and be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. The central truth of the Christmas story is who this baby is in a manger, and he is God. And because of who he is, as verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus is the preeminent one at Westside Baptist Church.